Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26, Christ's persistent, gracious work to disciple his people into full spiritual insight. We learned in our first lesson in this series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant, Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded unto upright service from personal failure. Well, some who start to serve God fail to keep at it due to dismay over the lingering spiritual darkness that they see in those they disciple. But Jesus exampled persistency here in Mark chapter 8, 22 to 26. So we view the passage for our insight. I want to read the passage first of all, and then we'll look at it. Mark 8, 22 to 26. And he, that is Jesus, cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Now he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he had spat on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men walking about as trees. After that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Interesting. The healing of the blind man in Mark chapter 8, 22 to 26, this passage that we just read, is recorded only in Mark's gospel. You don't find it in any of the other gospels. Now, Jesus healed other blind people, but this is the only record of this man's healing anywhere in the scriptures. And it is the only recorded two-stage miracle which Jesus performed. This is interesting because it was before the year 2000, we did not know this, but a person who has never seen, if he suddenly sees, he does not necessarily see well at all, because there have been people who haven't been able to see, and they've actually hooked up the optic nerve so that they can see in there as adults. And when they hook it up, they find out that they see, just like this man, they see people and they can't distinguish between people and trees. They see it in a blurred fashion. The reason is the mind has to learn how to interpret the signals that it gets from the optic nerve. Now, little babies do this all the time. When they first start seeing, they see things sort of in a blurred fashion. And I believe they see it upside down. Well, the brain has to reverse that. And babies learn this as they're growing up. But by the time you become an adult, you forgot about that. But they've given adults this. And so this is actually one of the most authenticating miracles that Jesus ever did according to modern science, because we know that when you heal a person today with blindness, that when they first see, it's the same way, and they have to go through the stage where the brain has to learn how to interpret what is coming to it, and so it can see clearly. So this demonstrates this was a genuine miracle that Jesus did. But he's doing it in stages for another reason. Very interesting here. Now, what's interesting is that since sight was widely used as a metaphor for understanding in that era, this unique miracle and the preceding context, very important, are strongly connected relative to the issue of spiritual understanding. Now, you'll remember back in Mark, this is all by way of review, back in Mark chapter 8, verses 10 to 13, the Pharisees who had refused to trust in Christ due to his miracles of healing the blind, the lame, and raising the dead that fulfilled the messianic prophecies of Isaiah 35, 4 to 6, among others, they tested Jesus by trying to get him to produce a sign from heaven, what they believed that he could not do. We know that they believed that he couldn't do it because in Mark 3, 22, they'd already concluded that he was doing his miracles by means of a demon. And apparently they were coming to try to prove it by saying, you cannot prove, you can't tear the sky apart and show the glory of God. So you're not the Messiah. And that's why they're trying to test him. However, what Jesus did, he refused to try teaching such overtly rebellious people. So he withdrew from them by the boat. It's interesting, Jesus had just crossed the sea to that area, Dalmanutha. He got out of the boat. These Pharisees came up to him. They tried to put him to the test. He refused to give them a sign. He got back in the boat and left them. So he's withdrawing from the Pharisees. However, while he was in the boat, leaving the Pharisees, you remember this last week, Jesus critiqued his own disciples who believed in him, but who still suffered from a degree of spiritual blindness as evidenced in their failing to understand Jesus' warning about the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod, as they thought Jesus spoke only of physical bread. Jesus was actually warning them of the hypocrisy and the errant theology of Herod and of the Pharisees, but the disciples in their spiritual blindness, in fact, Mark actually says they were spiritually blind, and Jesus points this out, they didn't get to it. They were just focused on the external, and they were not focused at all on the spiritual things. Jesus had pointed out how he had already taken loaves and broke them and fed the 5,000, taken loaves and broken them and fed the 4,000. So they did have a loaf with them. He certainly could have broken that and fed the 12 men that were there. So he wasn't asking them to buy bread. So that's why he wondered, why are you thinking about the bread? Well, Mark's readers might have concluded from Jesus' critique of the hardness of heart in his own disciples relative to their not understanding spiritual truth that Jesus might cease trying to disciple them any further. Just by way of review, let me look at that. In Mark chapter 8, you'll remember, verse 17 and 18, the critique of Jesus here is pretty strong. And when Jesus knew it, he said to them, "Why are you reasoning because you have no bread? Don't you perceive? Neither understand? Have you your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up?" They said unto him, 12. "And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up?" They said, 7. And he said unto them, "How is it that you do not understand?" The implication is, when are you guys ever going to get with the program? How come you're so dull? All right. When you see Jesus making that critique, you might think that Jesus might be tempted to cease trying any further with these men. However, what happens in this miracle of the healing of the blind man, Mark chapter 8, 22 to 26, this miracle signals the otherwise. It signals that Jesus, and proves that Jesus would work persistently to disciple his weak disciples into full spiritual insight as follows. Now, Jesus, we know, had the power to heal a blind man instantly without touching him, as he did in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. In Mark 10, 46 to 52, there was a man by the name of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus came across him as this man was outside the city of Jericho. And verse 47, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was going by, began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Many charged him that he should hold his peace, in other words, be quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, he calls you." And the man cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Now notice, Jesus doesn't touch the man. And Jesus said unto him, "Go your way, your faith has made you whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So Jesus healed this man without touching him. He healed him in front of other people. But he doesn't do it here. He does it away from the people of the town, and he doesn't do it by just speaking. He does it by touching them, by going through actions. So it's different. He chose to heal the Mark 8, 22 to 26 blind man in stages. Why? As a commentary on the previous context. Number one, the blind man had begun as totally physically blind, and Jesus caused him to see something in Mark 8, 22 to 24. The Pharisees were still in total spiritual darkness due to rebellion, where Jesus' disciples at least had put their faith in him, although they were still not mature men in the realm of spiritual discernment. That's where a lot of Christians are today. They've put their faith in Christ, they know about the Lord, but they're still relatively blind in a lot of areas. They don't get the picture, don't get the program or something. And sometimes maybe even we ourselves fall into that trap. And so the question is the Lord ever going to give up on us? Well, however, As with Jesus' disciples on the spiritual level, after Jesus had begun to give the physically blind man physical sight, he saw men only as trees walking seen, but lacking complete sight, just like Jesus' disciples. But Jesus kept working with his disciples to direct them to understand he had spoken of spiritual leaven. So he kept working with the partially seen blind man until he saw clearly. It's interesting, Jesus first just spat upon the man's eyes and so forth to demonstrate that a signal that he was going to be removing the impediment of his eyesight. We don't know exactly what the problem was, but anyway, it was this way. And that didn't work, so then Jesus actually touched him. He actually put his hands, we believe, probably on his eyelids and touched him. So he kept working with him, and then the man could see. Very interesting. He kept working with the partially seen blind man until he saw clearly. This is proof positive that Jesus is not going to give up on his disciples just because they're still spiritually blind. And if you trace the lives of the disciples, they were blind on a bunch of areas. They didn't get, I mean, he told them over and over again that he was going to die on the cross, he was going to rise again. They didn't get it. And so when the event actually happened, they were shocked. But nevertheless, he stayed with it. But what's interesting is of special note, the way Christ worked with the blind man highlighted his grace, his unmerited favor. First of all, in verse 23a, Jesus took the man by his hand and led him out of the town to give him his full attention, signaling his will to work in kindness on an individual level with the partially spiritually enlightened. Isn't that neat? He took him out, he took him by the hand very gently. He didn't grab him, you know, by the neck or anything. He took him by the hand and led him out, very politely, led him out to focus and signal his focus on this one. If we are having problems getting insight, God is more than willing to work with us individually at our level so that we can get the understanding. So we don't have to be afraid that somehow maybe our IQ isn't quite up there and, you know, God is going to give up on me because I'm not quite there with it. No, that's not God. He works with us individually. Then Christ spat on the man's blind eyes, ceremonially contaminating them. Leviticus 15:8 tells us that when something was spat upon, it would be ceremonially unclean. It would be contaminated. Well, he did that to signal that he was very motivated to rid his people of spiritual darkness. See, this man was suffering from blindness. And his disciples were suffering from blindness. That's why Jesus was a little sharp in his critique. He didn't like the blindness. God doesn't like us to be spiritually blind. He wants us to see. He wants us to understand. But Jesus demonstrates that here. He's really motivated. However, in doing this, Jesus also put his hand on the man, a sign of loving acceptance to indicate in his motivation to rid his people of unclean darkness, he would do so in love for them. Notice the last part of verse 3. He put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw anything. So, yes, Jesus is very sharply opposed to the blindness, but he loves us. So he wants to work with us. He wants us to see. And then to complete the miracle, Jesus put his hands on the afflicted man's eyes themselves and made him look up, signaling his motivation to address the root of spiritual darkness in his people. He didn't just put his hands on the man's shoulders, he actually touched his eyes. That's where the problem was, his eyes. So Jesus addressed it. There are reasons why we might have problems with spiritual darkness. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes we might feel intimidated, or we might not feel that we're intelligent enough, and that's a block. Sometimes there may be emotional problems. Whatever it is, Jesus Christ knows what the problem is that's holding us up. He will deal with it, and he will deal with it in a way that we don't even understand. I love so much the fact that when I get up and preach or teach, I know that there are various needs throughout the body. Many times, I don't even know what they are, but God does. When I preach, he will use his word, and sometimes he'll dig down, sometimes into the heart, where the person who's listening doesn't even know where his need is. And God uses the sermon, or God uses that passage, and he digs out the cobwebs, clears them out, and then they can grow. It's just a marvelous thing. But that's what Jesus did here. He knew where the root was, and he dealt with it. So, the lesson is in healing the Mark 8, 22 to 26 blind man in stages. Jesus signaled his desire to persist in discipling his partially insightful disciples to be rid of ungodly spiritual blindness, but to do so in love and thoroughness in addressing the root of the darkness within them. So may we who trust in Christ know that God is not satisfied with our having partial insight spiritually, that he intends to persist in working with us to give us full insight and love, addressing the root of our darkness. As we then disciple others, may we do so faithfully, fully, and in love. However, as Jesus did with the openly rebellious Pharisees in their great darkness, we too should withdraw from rebelliously darkened parties. So if there's a person who's recalcitrant, is just hard, and just doesn't want to begin to learn, it's not productive to be around them. This is so applicable. Today, when I was in Fellowship Hall, someone who was attending our church came up to me. It was a lady, and she expressed to me how discouraged she was at her spiritual dullness. She said, "Pastor, it takes so long for me to learn things from the Bible. I write them down, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't get there." And she was very discouraged, thinking that she would never be able to be a witness for Christ unless she knew more Bible truth. And I said, "You know what? If we all waited until we knew everything that there was about the Bible, we'd never serve the Lord, including me. Because I'm still learning. In fact, this year out of the book of Revelation, 2/3 of what I know about the book of Revelation, I learned this past year. And here I've been a minister for decades." So I said, "No, God wants you to go ahead and start serving him now." Well, this person was really burdened. This lady really wants to witness to friends. I said, "Go ahead. Don't stop witnessing just because you don't know as much Bible as maybe some other Christians are. Share what you know. You have contacts with these people. I don't have contacts with them. You do. No one else in our church does, but you have a capacity to reach out and befriend people. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Go ahead." She said, "Really? Can I serve the Lord? Me?" I said, "Yes. Yes, you can." And I'm trusting that the Lord is going to work in this dear lady so that she'll grow in her understanding of God's word. I'm just looking for it. I'm going to make that a prayer request so that she can come along and she won't be discouraged. Jesus Christ, I know from this passage, Jesus Christ wants to work with her. And whatever is creating that impediment that even frustrates her, he can deal with it. He knows what the root is, and he'll work with it. He's very kind. He wants us to see. He doesn't like us being spiritually dark, but he's very kind. He's very persistent. He's very patient, and he will keep working on us. So we have that hope. And I love that too. There have been many times when I've had questions about passages of scripture. I have to preach on something and I come across something and I break out into a cold sweat because I don't know what that is. And yet I'm supposed to preach on that passage. I'm supposed to know what that is. So I'll go to the Lord in prayer and the Lord will reveal it. He's done that many times. And then all of a sudden I relax and I rejoice and I thank the Lord for his kindness in sharing with me what that means. Well, God can do that. He can give us the insight. So may we look to him for it.